listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 20th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And as always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight's topic is what to look for in psychic readings. And to get us started, Dr. Hunter.
Yes, and before the program, Michael says, I'm going to sit back and you can just take the show. And I said, oh, we'll find things to talk about. Michael's saying that it's not his wheelhouse. I think it is. I think it's everyone's wheelhouse.
Well,
I really do.
And I'm looking forward to getting into that and, talking about how we all kind of might have it in our wheelhouse. But go ahead.
Well, I think because everyone has a curiosity about going for a reading or getting a reading, or you have at some point and you have had good experiences, not so good experiences. So that's why I think it's in everyone's interest to have this discussion, I think. I mean, I can speak from both being a reader but also being a client. Like, what do you look for? I don't go for readings very often. I suppose I did more often when I was young, but I'm also rather picky. So it's I'm a little bit prejudiced that way, I'm afraid. So I think it's in everyone's interest, don't you? Have you been to a reader, Michael?
I've never been. The closest
really?
I've had is things and intuition from you. But No, I've never actually been to a reading.
Well, I think that, and by the way, anyone in the chat room, you have any questions or you want to throw something in there for us to talk about, please do so. You have any comments, then we welcome that. We see a couple of new names in our chat room and a few other people listening, so glad to have everyone to join us. What do you look for in a reading? I think, first of all, you have to be very specific about what kind of reading you're going for. There's so many kinds of readings. If you're going for an astrology reading, a numerology reading, those are a little bit different from a tarot reading or, another kind of even palmistry reading for that matter. Cause those are, I think, a little more subjectivity, whereas numbers and planets is more the science. Now, that's not to say that a reader or a translator of those, you know, those mediums aren't going to also be feeding off of the individual or the client, but it is, I think, a little bit more scientific. I would, even in that case, with numbers and astrologies, I would look for somebody who's got kind of a wider view of life, who's not singular or heavily biased in one particular area. We all want to have somebody with lots of experience, but I tell you, there's some young readers, new readers who are really insightful and talented. So I look for, in that case, someone who has a good sense of the human condition, open-minded, and who's willing to set their own ideas aside to know that they're reading something maybe they haven't seen before. So then it's, you know, that kind of a thing. When it comes to other kinds of readings, first thing is any reader who starts to ask you questions before the reading begins is, it's that's not a reading. That's just somebody, there's terms for it, but that's somebody just doing a psychology.
Doing a cold read or something along those lines?
Yeah, it's exactly. And in the course material also, Dr. Kelly writes about cold readings. People who look for clues to know what to say to you. I'm very clear to people, especially if I don't know them. Don't tell me anything. And I will ask a couple of questions as I get into it to know that I'm plugged in properly with the individual. But the less I know, the better, because I don't want to be prejudiced, and I want to build that confidence with a client.
You don't want the intuition to be biased towards maybe what the client wants to hear.
Exactly. Exactly.
For what it's worth, I'm not going to delve into what the topic was. I'm going to hold that, you know, personal and private. But I will say that years ago, there was something that you had mentioned, and it was eerily spot on later on that it just kind of connected. So that's the closest I've had to it with the experience of a reading. And it was eye-opening in the sense that I've never discounted the possibility. I've always kept my mind open to the ultimate possibilities of existence. But I've always been not skeptical of everything in life, but I've always been understanding that human beings, even with good or bad intentions, can still be wrong. And I didn't, let's put it this way, put a lot of stock into certain things. But that, along with a few other experiences throughout my years, it's been a little eye-opening, and it's caused me to open my mind a little bit more than it had been prior. Because, as I said, I've always, you know, understood that the possibility could absolutely exist. There are many things we don't understand, but it made me think it much more.
Well, I think healthy skepticism is good. I've always said I'm rather an optimistic cynic. And I look for the good stuff, but, we just say that the first thing is anyone who asks too many questions. I know Dr. Angie has said in the chat, she asks questions to know she's making the right connection, but she's working with animals, not people, but she has to go through the people sometimes. So it's a very, and she says, my experience is different from Dr. Vicky. So that's a very different experience, Angie, when you're channeling through, and of course you're working with the people and the animals, so to ask questions would, I think, make more sense. I'm talking people on people. A reader ought not to ask questions, honestly. As I go into a reading, I'm saying, this is what I see. Does that make sense? Am I plugged in, or is my timing off? And this should have already happened to you. Did that happen? And if they say no, I say, okay, it sits with me again. I say, well, it's something coming. So I'm trying to plug in. And what I mean by that is plugging into a slipstream, because the universe is an interesting thing.
Okay, it is.
So this, the second thing that you want to be really wary of is somebody who speaks in absolutes. I find that very uncomfortable when people do that. I think it messes with people's minds, to be honest. When you speak in an absolute, yes, this is absolutely going to happen, it's like somebody has no choice. And that's not the way, in my mind, that the universe works. I think that every thought we have, every decision we make, every road we turn on, it takes us to a new destination. So to me, the whole point of a reading is to give you a heads up. This is what I see down this road. You know, as I'm interpreting it the best of my ability, but, you know, now that you know about it, it changes automatically. You know, so there's, and I'm, it's not a disclaimer to say, oh, I was wrong in the reading. I'm just saying that there are no absolutes.
Well,
so,
then if you just look at life in general, look at the present moment, you can see that everything is in a constant state of flux. Mm-hmm. That would lend itself to the idea that the future is in a constant state of flux, with everybody's free will is still kicking. We're writing the story as time progresses, as we're carried on this river of time. And it's kind of a concept of entanglement, too. You know, there is that thing where you'll be thinking about somebody right before they call, right? That comes up a... eerily often amount of times. And there are always little things here and there. The human beings are becoming more and more empathetic on an emotional level and intuitive, I think. Even as detractors say that, in a way, technology and things have made us more, distant, and they have to a degree. They've also brought certain things together in terms of communities that would have never known each other before.
Yep.
And communities like ours, this community wouldn't be possible without technology. And I would say that as we increase our empathy, as we increase our connections, is it not possible that these kind of this ability to tap into the energy and just the network of energy and the thought of creation being by which I mean life being created and decisions being made and artistic creation and, you know, thought. It's all kind of, it's all part of the same universe, and perhaps we're tapping into that matrix, that interwoven energy matrix of sorts.
Yeah, quantum entanglement.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Gregory's asked, does the reader consider the future as predestiny? In other words, as something that is more or less bound to happen? Or are you picking up on that, and you're picking up on that destiny? Everyone has their own ride, Gregory. Let me just say that for one thing. I don't know as it's predestined, except to say, if you're born into a certain country, born into a certain culture, I think that each of us has our own slipstream, so to speak, our own ride in this incarnation. And so, in other words, readings aren't going to be the same for somebody who's, I don't know, living in the Amazon versus here. You know, everybody has their own destiny in that way. Now, that said, anything can happen to make that change. As Michael just attested to, you know, we're a global community now, and traveling, there's, you know, all kinds of ways that people can, leap into a different kind of life experience. So we don't know. So what's destiny? I'm not sure about that. So I think that there's a quantum.
All right. Hello, everyone. We're back. I apologize for the technical difficulty. We seem to have lost our connection to the broadcast for a moment there, but we were able to reestablish, so we're back live.
I'm just asking if everybody can hear us. So hopefully everybody can hear us now. Let's just wait till we get some feedback.
I can see feedback. The levels bouncing up and down. I think we're I think we're good. So
okay, let's.
Because there's always going to be, and just well,
Okay, hang on. I'm going to ask everybody to refresh.
And here's another thing in case it starts to come up. As a little behind the scenes, mm-hmm. there's always a lag time between when we talk and when people can actually hear us.
Yeah. Gregory.
All right, well.
Still silent after a refresh. Oh.
Well, we got some people back on, so I think that it might have stopped when people have to play again after it's gone. We'll look into the tech bug. Okay. I'm not sure exactly why we got disconnected from our software, but hey, we're back at it. So, Dr. Hunter.
It seems we're back.
Yeah. Where were you at again?
I think we had a glitch in the matrix there, Michael.
No trademark infringement.
Okay, so what I was saying is that what I want to explain is that so many things about doing readings are scientifically explainable. Here's what's explainable versus what's not explainable. So empathy is that what we were just talking about, what Michael was just referring to, is the energy that we feel between ourselves, between each other. And it's that third eye kind of thing, that sensory perception that we have. And you can kind of just get those vibes. People who are mentalists have this ability to detect even the slightest amount of pulse in the heartbeat or the nervous system of somebody, and they're really sensitive to that. So that's, and then they, of course, other people would say, oh, I'm an empath, because they can pick up on people's feelings. But that's scientific. You know, we have that ability to have radar. We're told that we've been silenced again, Michael. I'm not sure if we're back or not. Can somebody maybe write in the chat that we're back?
I think Dr. Edward says that the silenced has been silenced, meaning removed.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with anyway.
I'm going with that too. That's a good one. So that's another thing that I would look for when, oh, thank you, Gregory. He's hearing us. When I've seen a reader and they're tapping into and they're telling me how I feel, that's not being psychic. That's being empathetic. And to be honest, the validation of that is good. And a lot of people need that kind of validation. Somebody hears me. Somebody can feel what I'm feeling. Somebody, you know, is connected. And I appreciate that. Some people say, you know, they're giving like a spiritual reading, what you came to do in this earth plane and you know, your great sense of purpose or something. And that's great too. If you need that kind of insight or that validation, a past life reading, reincarnation, okay, that's nice to know too. And maybe that gives you satisfaction to know why certain things are now, which it may or may not be true. So those are awesome. What I think I look for is somebody who's able to tap into timelines. And this is where we get into the unexplainable. I don't know what the science is. Maybe quantum physics will be able to prove this at some time, Michael. I'm not sure. But the past, present, future. So to be able to actually, in my mind's eye, see an event from the past to where they are now, to where somebody is going, and these events yet to come, there's no scientific explanation for that. But that's where I would like an insight. When I go to a reading, I would like to know, oh, well, what's ahead? What can I, even if it's a vague kind of an explanation, an energetic one, not placating me or, you know, trying to, you know what I'm saying, just make me feel better. But something that is a little bit substantial, like which road do I take? Which step do I go? And even the reassurance that the path I'm on now is taking me where I need to be, but with a little bit of evidence that there's an insight to events. That's what I look for with a reading. However, it depends so much on the need. But what you don't want is somebody who's going to ask a lot of questions, somebody who's going to tune in and read your body language and give you a psychological profile based on what they see, because that's still subjective, or somebody who's going to just tell you how you feel today. You know, I'm really solutions driven, so maybe that's part of it. But so it's like the do's and don'ts of this. But there's so much responsibility when being with people. It's never to be taken lightly. And if somebody doesn't appreciate that responsibility, watch their words. You know, watch how they are delivering information. Then, to me, that's being a bit irresponsible, because people hang on those words. Even if they say, I don't believe in a reader, mm-hmm. that stays in their mind. It does, and I've seen this time and again with people.
Well, it goes back to the principle of do no harm, do right. You know, it's you can say, oh, I'm not hurting anything. I'm giving them, you know, a hope or a story. But if it's all fiction, then you're giving them nothing, really.
Exactly, yeah. You know, excuse me, I would like to impart a story, because mm-hmm. it kind of explains another thing to look at when it comes to readings and psychic energy and alternate, you know, possibilities. And I know I've told this story a long time ago, but, you know, we've been on the air like for 8 years, so I can't remember what I said when. So here we go. I was a young girl. My mentor, Magda, I was very close to her at the time before she passed in 1979. So this goes back a long time. I had been visiting Vancouver and my backpack in tow. And I had an appointment to go see a reader at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but I was catching a train, you know, back to Alberta by six. And I was really worried about, you know, timing and getting to the train station on time, et cetera. And, but the reader said she was totally booked up. That was it. Well, I took a chance that morning, you know, going around having coffee, visiting around, seeing shops. And I just thought I'd take a chance. I got this feeling. I call her up and I said, is there any possibility, I'm in the neighborhood, that you could see me earlier? Yes, yes. I just had a cancellation. You come right now at 11 o'clock. Well, I was excited. That was great. I'm going to go at 11 o'clock. So I go to this woman, and she's one of those people who doesn't sit down at a table. She walks around. So you sit in a chair, and she's walking around her apartment just telling you all this stuff. And it was really quite bizarre to me. But I listened and listening, and I'm thinking, this is kind of crazy. I didn't relate to anything she said. The gist of what she was saying, it was, I was on my way to New York. My family were gemologists. I was going to marry a gemologist, and I would have two kids and live happily ever after.
And they had to be gemologists.
Yeah. And I looked at her and I said, that's not me. Like, I can't relate to anything that you've just said. Well, that's what I see. And she was very abrupt and very, you know, and I'm kind of in a tailspin thinking, boy, this is way off the wall. So I don't know why I paid her anyway, $20. And back in that day, it was a lot of money. And I get to the train station and I'm there early. I pick a window seat. They're double seats, 2x2. And I'm kind of in a daze. I'm thinking, I don't get this. But nonetheless, the train filled up. I'm in La La Land. Train filled up. This is all very relevant. I don't mean it to be a long story, but every detail here is really relevant to the point. As it's filling up, there are people who are trying to sit together in these 2x2 seats. Well, it's packed. There's an empty seat beside me. There's a couple trying to have seats together. And being polite, especially in those days, we were polite. I said, you know what? I'll find another single seat. You two sit together here. Okay, this was wonderful. About 3-4 rows back, there's a girl sitting, window seat. Unfortunately, I lost my window seat. But she's sitting by herself, so I sit with her. Now, as we get visiting, I say, oh, and what's your name? And sharing. And it's, where are you off to? Because we were really more social in those days. and she says, oh, I'm off to New York. What? Really? Yes, I've been out here visiting family, but I'm planning my wedding and be getting married next month. And now I'm starting to, like, what? You know, this is very bizarre. Okay, a few little things here piquing my interest. And I said, you know, just off the wall here, I said, I went to see a psychic reader this morning at 11 o'clock. She said, I wanted to make my appointment at 11 o'clock, but I just couldn't. I had to cancel. We got so busy and I couldn't go. I said, really? You were going to a psychic? And she said, yes. I said, you wouldn't happen to be from a family of gemologists, would you? Yes. I said, you weren't going to see so-and-so, were you? Yes. Oh. Now, I'm dumbfounded. I mean, I'm totally confused in the cosmic here. So, the woman who canceled her appointment, I got her reading. I'm sitting in the train, relaying to her. I said, well, I guess I better tell you what the reader said. So I did. Now, again, completely confused. So I get back home, and the first thing I do is call Magda. I go over for tea, and I tell her this story. She said, oh, she didn't clear her energy. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, it's quantum physics, you know. I said, no, I don't know. I mean, I barely knew what the word quantum was at the time. But she did explain. She didn't, the woman didn't unplug. So as I came to understand, truly it took me years to figure this out, is that the reader had plugged into her clients, 11 a.m., 12, 1 o'clock, and as that universal energetic, Dr. Edwards saying the Twilight Zone music starts, that was good, we're plugging in. Now, when that changes, then you have to clear the energy to unplug. And it's think of it as wires in a house. You know, you got to pull the plug and then plug something else back in. And I noticed in my earlier years that if two or three people would come together for a reading, I can believe I'm, let's say, giving a reading to Jane, but over here it's Kathy who's saying, oh, that's me. I said, oh, sorry. So what I learned is I don't let people tell me who wants to go first. I decide. The other thing that I do to make sure that I get as clear a connection as possible is I write the name down and I write down their birthday. Of course, I do a little bit with numbers too for cycles, but I want to be sure that I'm plugged in. I had it where another girlfriend and I went to a reader years ago, and the woman did give us reverse readings. You know, we got back in the car later, and we compared our notes because the reading I got was for her, her reading was for me. So it was kind of like a slipstream confusion. And so that experience that I had in Vancouver very early in my reader life set me up to want to know and understand metaphysics, not just this random idea that some of us are psychic and some people, you know, everybody can learn, but I wanted to know the science. Like there are sciences to this. There's the physicality of it. So as Magda said to me before she left the earth, she said, I couldn't possibly be here long enough. I've given you as many questions as I know so that you can carry on to keep learning. And that's what we do. And with each generation and, you know, each 100 years, doing thousands of years we've been here, hopefully we keep passing on knowledge that's sensible knowledge, you know, that is mm-hmm. good knowledge that we can keep expanding our consciousness.
I really like that saying. I mean, say it again. I think I've left you with enough questions.
Yes, that you can continue, keep learning.
I love that because, well, and with every great leap in human understanding, we answer certain questions or only to, you know, uncover many more. We answer one question, two new pop up because of the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, well, that's really fantastic, because that means that there will always be the journey of discovery. And, well, at least for the foreseeable future for our species. Because think the long term. We've been on this planet our ancestors have been here for millions, if not billions of years. Humans have been here for tens of thousands of years, if over 100,000. Most of that time unrecorded. Think of all of the things that have happened, all of the development. Think about who are we going to be in another 100,000 years? How will things have changed? These things we're talking about now, how will they develop? How will our understanding of quantum physics change? And how will that... What is magic to one person is simply science that is not yet understood. And we are all after the truth. And that is what science is. It is discerning the truth. And as our methods become more sophisticated, we're going to be able to understand more sophisticated, intricate concepts of reality. And what is metaphysics? It's understanding awareness and our perception of reality and what it is. And it's all coming together.
You know, Gregory, just by the way, Michael has put it in the chat. If anybody would like a card pull tonight from our Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, please put your name in. But Gregory's asked, is the interpretation of the past just as valid and significant as that of the future? And I guess it, just in the context that I'm interpreting your question, Gregory, I think the interpretation of any past is significant because it's subjective, and through every stage of life we're going to look back and see something different about that past experience, just as we see something different in the future. So the more conscious and aware we are, again, you can see something from 100 different ways and then 10 years later look back at it and say, wow, it's like reading a book. You read that book 3 times and you're going to see something in there that you didn't get before. So Heather's asked, do you feel it's better to read present energy than future energy? I think it's all relevant, Heather. I think as a reader, I think to give people, because I don't know why, I just can see the future, at least some things in the future. Very often it's like little snapshots or little flicks of a movie or pictures. I don't know. I believe it's my job to give somebody pictures of the future. Yes, reading present energy is absolutely critical because it's where you're at now, what you want to do with that. But to give a little bit of this is where I see you going, or these are the events that I see happening, should you want them, you know, number one, I see it. So I think it's a responsibility to share some of it. But I want a disclaimer on this. I don't tell people everything, and I'm going to be perfectly honest about that. Because I think sometimes it's my job then to tune into whether somebody can handle that, number one. How much information is too much information? Because then you're not doing your part to it. Like, as a matter of fact, a woman, yes, you'll get married. You're going to meet somebody. Yes, you'll get married. Well, what does he look like? I said, oh, you want his name and address too? You know? And even if I can see what somebody looks like, I'm careful. I say, I'm not going to tell you anymore because you'll screw it up. Because I kid you not. I made the mistake one day. I told this woman, I said, yeah, I see a man. This is what I see he's wearing and he's looking like. Well, no, lo and behold, she actually met this guy, saw him in a restaurant and walked up and said, I know you. You and I are going to get married because a psychic described you to me to a T. And she said, and he wouldn't talk to me. What's wrong with him? I said, no, what's wrong with you? That was a no-no because you can blow it. You know, or you can have a panic attack and screw it up. So the less you know sometimes, the better.
Yeah. Well, it's because back to what we were talking about earlier on, the future is always in flux. And yeah. The future that you see, it happened, you know, despite the revelation. So the revelation in that reality hadn't happened. Revelation happens. Reality can shift.
And now it sets up for something else. And that is the thing, that the universe is always changing. You know, stuff is good. I'm glad Heather said that helps a lot. I'm glad. It's, yes, I can assure somebody of some things to come, but how much do you want to reveal? And not just that, it's a time constraint. You know, I glean over what I see as relevant, most relevant in this moment, within the confines of time. If somebody says, look, I only want a half hour reading, that's what they're getting, a half hour reading, and I'll glean over what I can, you know, as best as I'm able. And if you want something more in depth, of course we get more time. But I think it's also about encouragement. Where are things going? You know, what's coming up? Yeah, it's encouraging to people. So
yeah. And
okay.
Well,
sorry, Mike.
No, the last thing I was just going to kind of throw in was, did we address Gregory's earlier question? And I want to go up to read it correctly, but it was along the lines of giving difficult information that the client might not want to hear. Let's see.
Oh, I missed that question. I'm sorry.
It's been a lively chat.
It has, so it's been great.
How do you, quote unquote, how do you share difficult or problematic news?
There's always a way to do it, and I'm trying to think of an actual instance right now, Gregory. If I can see, I have these symbols that pop in my head. If I see somebody attending a funeral and there's a cross, then I know that there's somebody here who's going to pass. And I think that what this means is that you're to give time to the people that you really love and nurture that while you have the time. And if I think that's relevant, usually there's a spirit in my brain that says you need to share this. Because it might be somebody who hasn't called their parents for like 6 months, you know, or I don't know. It's all relative to what I'm seeing in the context of that. If I see that somebody's headed for a real health crisis and I know there's something that they can do about that, then absolutely I say, you know, you might want to go see a doctor. I'm just sensing, without causing panic. Right. There's a way to give information that you think is relative to what's coming up and in context. It has to be in the right context. People who know me know that I don't pull any punches, but I do my best to be absolutely responsible. It's just in that way. I hope that kind of helps. I think everything can be shared if it's necessary to the reading, relevant, and in a way, a certain way it's presented. You're not going to make everybody happy. You know, it's always people who are going to be unhappy or, you know.
Such is life, huh?
That'll happen. So,
yeah,
Michael, we've had some names pop up in the chat for a card. If we can get through this, I know we're pressing for time. It's such a great subject. So,
Well,
who have we got?
First up, we have Dr. Edward, and let's see. By the way, of course, these aren't readings like we've been talking about tonight, at least definitely not from me, but it is crazy how sometimes they can be so spot on to a situation. It's you know, something to make you think, and more often than not, it might reverberate with you or touch on something you've already been thinking on, so... Dr. Edward, I have for you number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me? All right. And I was able to make it through almost the entire thing, so sorry about that. But, Dr. Hunter, next up we have Audra.
Audra, I just pulled number 10 for you, and that is the indomitable power of the human spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing's out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. I can't speak anymore, Michael.
It's contagious.
Well, I forgot my reading glasses in the other room. That's part of it. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. And I think you're on to something, Audra. I think you just need a little boost of confidence there. So there, you've got it. I think Dr. Shirley's up next. Michael?
All right, Dr. Shirley, I have pulled number 42, Trust Integrity. Now, is it me, or has this one come up almost every broadcast?
I know.
Well, it's reverberating then, but number 42.
It is.
Trust integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
That's such a good card. I like it. Trevor, who signed it under a different name, that was pretty funny. Glad you said it was Trevor. I didn't even have to turn a page for this one. I got number 9, empowerment, for you. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you're whole, you're empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. So that one is for you, Trevor.
All right. And for them, I happen to know it's actually a couple listening, so there is a Mrs. and Mr. Schuler. But I want to say, I think we also had Andrea. I don't know if we got hers.
No. Okay, go ahead, Michael. Pull one for Andrea, please.
Absolutely. And I have number 36, gratitude. Which I also think came up relatively recently. But. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. Well,
I like it.
I like it too, and I think that is everybody, if I'm not mistaken.
Who's asked for a card? That's great. That's super. You know,
right.
one day, soon, maybe what I would like to do is pulling a card of tarot and the self-discovery cards for people and see what we have. That would be a good experiment.
I think it would be. I'd say I'm woefully ignorant when it comes to tarot. I'd be very interested in that.
All right. We'll do that. Maybe we'll do that next week as an experiment and see what we have going on.
Yeah. Let's jazz it up. Keep things interesting.
Count me in, says Angie.
Well, I tell you, tonight it's been a great great discussion. I mean, we've gone over a lot of different kind of concepts when it comes to psychics, readings, keeping an open mind, yet being, as you said, perhaps an optimistic cynic, but being a healthy, open-minded person, meaning being a touch skeptical about the source, making sure that we're being critical thinkers. And, we've had a great discussion. We've had only a few minor technical glitches. I was able to say most of everything I wanted to say correctly without stumbling over myself, so I'm appreciative of that. And in addition to next week having a little fun experiment with our cards, we're going to talk about the human drive to create. And looking forward to that discussion.
Great talk.
All right. So, again, always thank you, everyone, for joining us, especially those that are live, because it adds to the energy of this broadcast, this community that we're building, and this group of curious individuals trying to explore our reality. And, well, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.